Hello, this is Jim Thomas welcoming you to the Message Share Ministry of the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church located in Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania. The message you are about to hear was preached in a worship service. After some congregational singing, our speaker is William P. Robbins, who is a pastor and elder.
Father, this evening we're grateful that we can come to your presence and expect that you will listen and hear us because of Christ, not because of our righteousness or anything that we have to offer. But we're grateful that you have blessed us in so many ways. And now tonight we need blessing because we have this mighty warfare that's going on, and we dare not be lackadaisical, but we pray, our Father, that the Spirit of God will take the Word of God and bear home to our hearts and encourage us and strengthen us, and that our Lord Jesus receive honor and glory. And our Father, we pray that we may enjoy what you have for us tonight as we look at your precious Word. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Let's sing that one more there, brother. 725. Why should I be discouraged?
Why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home? When Jesus is my portion, my sparrow, and I know he loves his
Ephesians, and the sixth chapter. We want to deal with the fifth piece of the armor of God, the helmet of salvation. Ephesians 6 and verse 17, and especially the first part of verse 7. We're to take the helmet of salvation. And then the last is, of course, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. However, I do believe that we ought to not eliminate, but top it off with verse 18 about the matter of praying after we put on this armor of God. I really kind of believe that the most American Christians don't think that this is any big deal. I just feel that. And they may even not be aware that there is a spiritual warfare going on. I mean, man, what do you mean? I get that impression. But it is a mighty conflict. Inasmuch as your mind may not want you to believe it, and you may say, well, I don't think it's a big deal, I'm going to tell you something. It's a big deal, and it's a conflict. It's a serious conflict. Because I know this, that the enemy of Christians, he desires that we be destroyed, and that includes you if you say you're a Christian. It's found in this warfare. Where is it found? What country are you going to go to get that warfare? Hey, it's everywhere. It's in the heart of everyone. And it's in the heart of believers. You'll find it that wherever it takes place. Where does it take place? Well, it can take place at home. It can take place at the job, take place at school. What place do you want to talk about? If the heart's there, it's going to be a warfare somehow or other. And so I would like us to get serious about it if we can, because it's telling us you can fight successfully. You don't have to just lie down and say, well, there's no hope for me. There's a lot of hope for us. And this verse 17 of the sixth chapter, the first part, is a verse of hope as far as I see it. And so, but to fight successfully is what we need to learn to do. And we need the Lord's strength in all this, because he's the one that gives us the power. It's a supernatural power. According to verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong, where in the Lord, that it's supernatural power that we need, in the power of his might, not our might. That makes a big difference. And so I do think that we need to learn how to access the power that God has for us. How are you going to access the power? Well, if we've paid attention to what it means to be united with Christ, and once we're in Christ, that puts us on a platform that will be able to access the power, resurrection power. If we not only see that he lives in us, but also that if we obey and do his will, then he promises to help us. And we have this protection of verse 17. Where's the protection? A helmet? Well, yeah, but it says a helmet of salvation. That's right. That's a great protection. You know, the helmet that the Roman soldiers had was quite a helmet. It was a metal, of course, bronze. Rather attractive. I know the Vikings, they had ugly things to scare the daylights out of you, but this they did not have. They decorated them as an ornament in those days, and it protected them. It come down along their ears. You know, I've always been fascinated with helmets in World War II. There was a difference between the Americans and the Germans, and I thought the German helmets looked kind of funny, but the American helmets were sharp, I thought. However, I have to tell you very quickly, I think the German soldiers, army officers had nicer uniforms than we have, but we beat them, didn't we? Anyway, this matter of a helmet is very important. Now, why does a Christian need a helmet? You know, what a helmet? What do you need some headgear for to walk in this life? Well, I think that you can understand that. There's a lot of things that would harm us. We need protection. If we're going to think about our minds and we're going to think about our souls and spirits, it's so easy that things can ensnare us, trap us. You know, this old world would trap us in the matter of the money is the big thing. You know, come on, let's get it straight. Money is the big thing. Or we get along with the matter of you got to be somebody. You got to be somebody's status is very, very important. And we get into that groove. And then we can get in the groove that, listen, we have pleasures. That's what we're living here for, need some pleasures. Well, there are. There are these, we need some money, and we need to be able to be a status that we can work, and there are pleasures that he does give us, indeed. But to just to seek those things. All right, so what did we look at so far? Well, we looked at the first piece that we had to do, and that was the matter of a belt, and the belt was necessary for truth, the needs of truth. I thought that was very good to have us spend some time looking. Therefore, verse 14, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having secondly the breastplate of righteousness. We know that I just said that there are the areas where they want to capture our minds, and so we need truth in verse 14, and we need the breastplate of righteousness, and that has to do with purity of life. And that he said we need to have purity of life, righteousness which we get through Christ, and right living. It's necessary that there be purity of life in the battle that we have while we're here on this earth. And then we had also looked a little at the matter of the sandals, the shoes, and that they were necessary for mobility to give forth the peace. Notice that verse 15, and your feet shod with preparation of the gospel of peace, give forth the preciousness of the word of God, and that has the idea of mobility and stability, and you'd be able to stand, not slip all around and fall down. And then we talked last Sunday about the shield. And the shield is very important also, because the shield had to do with the matter of quenching the fiery darts and their temptations of all sorts. We looked at them. Where is that? Well, it talks about, above all, take the shield, verse 16. What about this? It's a shield of faith wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And so we looked at these things. You know, I was kind of impressed the fact that the way we were brought up, that we're Americans, the United States of America, nobody better mess with our country and stay away and don't invade us because we're strong. Well, what happened? That whole idea that we are so strong that nobody would dare to do anything. We had this matter of 9/11. That was a shock to some of us. We didn't think it ever would happen that we could be invaded. So what does that have to do? It has to do with the fact that we need to realize how some of these things can happen. And the devil wants us to be, we want to be aware that he wants to destroy us. I keep saying that, but I want you to hear it. But if we have faith in Christ, and we have his divine provided armor, we just got to talk about his armor, friends, if this is a real battle. I know it's a figure. I know it's the Bible gives us a figure of conflict, and he uses this matter of war. You know, in Hebrews 11, it talks about a race that we need to run. Now, that's a conflict. And then in 1 Corinthians 9, it's talking about a boxing match. Well, that's a conflict. Was it last night? They had a boxing match The guy had been 9 times champion, and a guy took him the first round, knocked him out, and he took an hour for him to get straightened out. Say, well, what does that have to do with this passage? When they box, it's a conflict, and you need to just get hit on the chin there with a certain place, and it'll put you down. And the Bible talks about these illustrations, and now he's talking about this matter of a war, armor, war. He wants us to get the picture of it. And since we're so close to Philippians, we just turn there to the next book, Philippians, the 2nd chapter. I want to turn back to that, verses 12 and 13. I think it's important in this matter of salvation. And this 17th verse, first part, put on the helmet of salvation, I do believe it has to do with the matter of working out one's salvation. Notice verses 12 and 13 of the 2nd chapter of Philippians. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God that worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Now, salvation is in three tenses. You know this, don't you? There is the past tense, when we come to know Christ as a Savior, we were justified by faith. That's the past. Where there's the present tense, where we're supposed to be coming more like the Lord Jesus and working at it, it's called sanctification. But the future salvation, which I believe this passage in the 6th chapter of Ephesians, verse 17, has to do with glorification. And the promise of it, and the encouragement of it, that we might realize it. And so we have these, the matter of the battle, take up the shield of faith, because there's temptations, that we may be able to extinguish these temptations by faith. Faith in the Lord. Extinguish, quench the temptations. There are a lot of temptations in this world. And it happens with big people, too. And make you feel badly. Tiger Woods. There was a time, and I even mentioned it, looked like, don't say anything about anybody like that. But friends, let's face reality. There's a battle going out there. And the matter of this helmet tonight. So these Roman soldiers wore helmets. You say, well, okay. So they do. But the helmet was to protect their heads, made out of cast metal. And we're not talking about, in this passage of Ephesians 6 and verse 7, we're not talking about past salvation of justification. And we're not talking about present salvation of sanctification here. We're talking in Ephesians 6 here, I believe, or at verse 17, first part, it's talking about glorification, future, final. Results. Now, it is simply saying to me, you can't lose. No, sir, you're not on the losing team. You're going to win. Ooh, I need to hear that. You're a winner. If you're chosen of God, a remnant of God, you have been saved, you're a winner. And so that's what verse 17 says to me. God has given us a helmet of salvation. And this helmet of salvation is a change. If we understood that verse properly, we wouldn't be half scared about this matter of a warfare. You know, saying, well, have you ever been to a time when you said, you know, I just don't know what's going on. It just seems that things aren't working out. I might as well throw the towel in. I might as well quit. You never had that happen to you as a Christian? This is a verse to help you over those humps. And you say, well, I don't know. It doesn't seem the church has gone anywhere. The preachers, passages, his messages, I don't pay much attention to them. And it just seems that, what's the value of it? And we preachers get that way too. Say, I don't see people really anxious about the Word of God. It doesn't seem like what we're saying is mounting to too much. Might as well just give it up, the whole thing. But verse 17 says, listen. You take that helmet, the helmet of salvation, and of course you need the sword of the Spirit, which we'll get to, the Lord willing, to the Word of God. He said, and that was what you need to have. You need to understand the helmet of salvation. Now, it's protect our heads, a very vital part. That's where the thinking apparatus is, and that's where it's supposed to be. But it's really talking about eternal security, as far as I'm concerned. What? Verse 17, first part, take the helmet of salvation. We got something that's secure, and it'll change your attitude towards battle and to enter in without fear. I saw a picture today of the soldiers listening to our president talk about Afghanistan and 30,000 of them, and they had their uniforms on, and they didn't look very happy. No, I don't blame them. I mean, they were taught that you join the service, you get reimbursed, and you get your college education, and not the possibility of going to battle. Come on. Or fighting and getting killed with those Arabs. Well, I can understand how they... But that's not the attitude that we should have in verse 17. You don't be downhearted. Don't be down in the mouth about the spiritual life. He's given us eternal security. And it ought to give us courage to stand up and say, well, come what may, God has prepared me to handle all the conflicts down the road. I'll tell you, friends, I don't think that any of us arrived. I mean, things can happen to us. And we better take this seriously and not be discouraged about it. There are those who really feel the devil is stronger than God. And that'll cause you to feel discouraged. He's not more powerful than God. And just get some things straight. We don't have to cringe, walk around humped over and say, I'm afraid. No, verse 17 is telling you, you're not supposed to walk around that like that as a child of God. I know things can mess up, but you... How would you like to have me tonight tell you that you're a Christian? I say, yeah. I want to tell you something. Do you know you can lose your salvation? What? If I were to preach that false teaching that you can come to know Christ and then lose it all, wouldn't that take a lot out of you? I mean, this is a glorious passage. Do you really understand it? Eternal security. Do you really know the future aspect of salvation is guaranteed? It's talking about glorification. You got to go to sleep on that, put your head on that pillow. And so he said, I want you to understand that you need this helmet of salvation. And when you realize it, it'll help you in the battle. Now, our brother's been teaching us about Revelation 2 and 3, and it talks about the matter of overcomers. And it says that we can be overcomers. And that we'll, in the day come, we eat of the tree of life. That sounds good. In the paradise of God. That's your future. Come on. Chip up a little bit. You had a tough day. Weather change. Some of us walking around with colds. I didn't even think maybe I'd be able to preach tonight. But here we are. And so let's see. I want to turn to some passages. Why are you going to turn to some passages? We need some passages that will cause us to strengthen up and take courage and go into this battle saying, I'll tell you, men can say that we're not doing very well. And our hearts would say you might as well quit. But I want to go to some passages. I hope you'll enjoy them as much as I did in preparing for them. I want us to go to the Gospel of John. I'd like you to turn to chapter 6. And I'd like to give you some promises that might cause your heart to be thrilled and encouraged. The John chapter 6, and I want to start at verse 37. Just a few verses. 37, the sixth chapter of John. Well, here we go. A great promise as far as I'm concerned. Listen to this. Verse 37 to 40. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. We're talking about security. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. You got something better than that? That's encouraging when situations come and conflict comes and we feel like I don't know what I'm going to do. If you know the Lord Jesus savingly, he said, I got to tell you something. You know, I was thinking of this. If just one person who knows Jesus Christ sincerely and in truth, if that one person were to be lost after genuinely knowing Christ as Savior, what would that make our blessed Lord in this passage? No, I don't even want to say that. It's obvious. I'm telling you, you better believe some of these scriptures. You say, well, that's Calvinistic. I don't care about it. You better get that out of your head, too. This is the Word of God. And so when we have precious promises like that, but I'm not going to give, I have some more promises while we're here. Look at the 10th chapter. This is one of my favorite passages of promise. You know, encourage you when you get down in the mouth and you say, it isn't worth it at all. Might as well quit and give up. Chapter 10 of John's Gospel, and I want to look at a couple of verses there, starting at verse 27. Yes, and wow. My sheep. Yes, that's what we are. My sheep hear my voice, verse 27. And I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. That includes yourself, too. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. You say that's a very simple passage, but how profound it is. Wow, in the hand of the Lord, just think about that. He said, there is in my hand, and then not only in my hand, but in the Father's hand also together. You want to talk about something to give you some courage when things are going wrong, the things are coming down on you? Say, I tell you one thing, I know this. I have been saved, and I am being saved. I want to be more like the Lord Jesus, but I have the future tense of salvation, which is he promises glorification. And so I'm not going to swallow all this. I'm going to accept what the Word of God says, and it says, I'm safe in Jesus. And so he gives me this wonderful promise that I will not be plucked out. And so if we quickly go to Romans, that's a few more books. Romans, the 8th chapter. Isn't that a passage in Romans 8? When you read this, does it kind of get to you too, Romans 8, as an encouragement, a security, that this is the end of this conflict, so to speak? Look in Romans chapter 8. And I start to read verse 35. Here we go. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? Or distress? Persecution? Famine? Or nakedness? Or peril? Or sword? As it is written in Psalm 44, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Get that? More than conquerors. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, boy, he doesn't quit by the Spirit of God, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, you ought to take that and sleep on that for a while. See how your night would go. And then, as I often use this passage, or frequently, in Jude, right before the last book of the Bible, Jude, he says, I'll tell you, brethren, there's a warfare going on. But the last verses of Jude, particularly, verse 24 and 25. Jude, of course, you know it's one chapter. Verse 24 and 25. How do you like these verses? Now, unto him that is able to keep you from falling. Jude 1:24-25. Now, unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Oh, wow, what promise that is, my friends. He's going to keep us from falling. And, you know, he is the Alpha and Omega. He that hath begun a good work in you shall do it. These are just great verses. Why am I giving you great verses when it says it's the helmet of salvation? That is a picture that in warfare a helmet is necessary, and it protects the head, a very vital part of the person. Listen, that was so clever to make a helmet, friends, that they fought with these different swords. And a soldier knew that if he kept his head moving somewhat, that he wouldn't be a direct hit. A direct hit, like with a sledgehammer, could do damage. But a moving of the helmet, and you hit it, it would glance it. And soldiers maybe did look a little strange when they were fighting this, but not really. And so it was a real protection. And God said, I want to tell you something. No matter how the battle goes, I have provided for you a helmet, and you will not be crushed, and you'll be safe, and it'll affect your thinking. And if you're worried about falling into some kind of false teaching by some preacher, he said he'll keep us from error and keep us from apostatizing. I tell you, it's wonderful to have a helmet of salvation, friends. The past, the present, and the future. Guaranteed. Lovely. And so I just encourage you that we need to have a forward look. And that we need to understand that we need to keep our eyes on the unseen. Aren't we people that just put our eyes on the seen, the things that can be seen? We go by sight. Oh, isn't this something? It really is fabulous. Isn't this something? We just get so excited about that which can be seen. But the Word of God says that which is real is that which is unseen and invisible. But how many of us can learn that? Like these verses tonight. How many of us can really say, oh, how wonderful, how glorious it all is. But and to know that we have heaven and as our home, that's where we're gone. No more sin. Yeah, no more sin. And everlasting joy and happiness. That ought to cause you to get up in the morning. That ought to encourage you to say, well, I may be pretty much down and so forth, but the Lord says, I'll provide for you a helmet of salvation. And if you can just see, you know, if we could just understand one thing, the best of life is not now. Now, some of us hope that we can have the best life we can, legitimately. But the best of life is not now. It's to come. It's the third part of the salvation truth, the great truth of salvation, glorification with the Lord Jesus. Ah, yes. We're going to fight this battle and to have the commendation of God himself. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter in. It was a missionary who made this statement. He said, the future is as bright as the promises of God. What? The future is as bright as the promises of God. That sounds good. And he's saying this, don't be discouraged in this conflict. It's serious. It's very important. And you need to take it seriously. But the future is as bright as these promises of God. Yes, I think we'll hold it there. The Lord willing, we'll get on to this matter of the 17th verse again about the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And that had to do, I trust, with the observance of the Lord's Supper. Also on Sunday evening, the Lord's Supper.
Thank you for listening to this recording from the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church of Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania. We trust that it will have a lasting and eternal blessing to you. We would encourage you to visit us at 325 Yetter Road, Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania, or by way of our website at www.localchurchpa.com. That's www.localchurchpa.com. For further information, please call us at 570-546-6859 or email us at email@localchurchpa.com.